Hi, and welcome to the Horizon Church podcast. Horizon Church is a Christ-centered, word-based, spirit-led church based in Sydney, Sutherland Shire. We are so happy to bring this week's message to you. And on behalf of our pastors, Brad and Ali Bonholm, and the Horizon Church team, we pray it's a blessing to you.
Father, we thank you this morning. As we stand to our feet, Lord God, we honour you. We honour you, King Jesus, above all else. We thank you for what you are doing in our midst. We thank you for what you are doing in this region, in our nation, across the world, Lord God. We thank you. And this morning, I thank you for your presence. And I thank you, Father, that doesn't matter what we're going through, you are good and you are sovereign and your word remains, your word stands true. Lord God, we give you all the glory. I pray that you take these words this morning and do as only you can do. Welcome, Holy Spirit, in Jesus' mighty name. And everybody said, amen. Can we shout amen this morning? Amen. God is good. God is good. Take your seats. It is actually my honor to be here this morning. And I don't often leave Hope You See on a Sunday. I just love being at my church. I love it. It was about 8 years ago, or 9 years ago actually, and Mark said to me one day, you know, we'd been at Hillsong Church for 27 years and it was amazing. But you know, sometimes when God is trying to get your attention to bring a bit of a shift across your life, and there can be that little bit of a frustration and you don't really know what it's about. It's not at anything or for anything. It's just this tension starting to build by the Spirit of God getting your attention. And he said to me one day, would you like to have another adventure? And I thought we were going fishing because I love fly fishing. Well, fishing, and fly fishing is on my bucket list. So I'm like, finally, we are going fly fishing. And he's like, no, I'm talking about a church. I'm like, okay, yeah, fishing was not, it's kind of, right? Kind of, same thing. And so we found ourselves saying yes to this little church on the Central Coast. And I'm so grateful to God. I know you've been doing a series on gratefulness, and I'm here today to say I am so grateful to God for, firstly, a husband who listens to God. I'm thankful for the Holy Spirit who can get our attention one way or the other. I'm thankful to be placed in a country where we can freely declare the gospel of Jesus Christ. I am thankful for a God that is a God of hope, amen? And we say on the Central Coast at Hope You See that hope is a person and his name is Jesus. And I'm just grateful. I'm grateful to God that in July I was 5 years cancer-free in Jesus' name. I'm grateful for all of it. And so it is my great delight to be here today. Mark and I, we have three daughters, two son-in-loves. We have one daughter who's 18 and is dating. I declared she would never get married till she was 30, but we'll just see. We have five grandchildren now, and it is just so good. God is so faithful. Can I remind you this morning, I don't know what's going on in your world, but God is faithful. He is so faithful. So this morning, I want you to open the Word, and if you haven't got your Bibles here this morning, we're going to put it on the screen. And also, before I do that, thank you to Pastor Brad and Ali. You are simply beautiful. You are generals. Ali, you are a Deborah. You are divine. And I just thank God for both of you and your faithfulness and for your children. And I just declare blessing over your children this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Ephesians 3 is where I'm going this morning, and probably going to bring something a little different today. It says this, "Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen." Amen. You know, Albert Einstein said something that shocked the scientific world. He shocked it with the following comment: imagination is more important than knowledge. People debated him on it. A great Christian teacher, author that I love, he's wild and wacky, his name is Bob Goff, and he is a lover of humanity and a lover of Jesus. And he said this: guard after your imagination as it is, as if it were the most valuable thing that you have. I go back to now to him who's able to do immeasurably more than we can think. Other versions say dream, think, imagine. Dream, think, imagine. The definition of imagine is the action of forming ideas or concepts not present to the senses. Imagination, simply the ability to visualize that which is not yet visual. Other words that describe it: envisage, devise, frame, create, feature, picture, perceive, realize, perceive, realize, perceive, realize. When I think of this scripture and I think of Ephesians 3, which is Paul encouraging the church at Ephesus, and he's so passionate about the goodness and the love of God, and then he finishes in this crescendo, now to him, now to him. He's like, God loves you, God loves you, God loves you. It's wide, it's deep, it's crazy, it's radical. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than we can possibly dream, think, imagine, envisage, create, feature, picture, perceive, realize. And I felt this morning that the Holy Spirit had given me a little charge to charge you in this area of what you see. Perhaps imagination is scary for some because it kind of transcends just the levels of intellect and what we can feel and hold. It goes beyond the things that are literal. It's possible to have always known something but never actually imagined. Michelangelo, he said, every block of stone has a sculpture inside it, but it's the task of the sculptor to discover it, kind of to dig in and imagine. I mean, my grandchildren, I love watching them. They live in a world that is imaginary. I have sat on many an imaginary person and got in so much trouble. Don't sit there, no! And I'm, what's happening? What's happening? You sat on such and such. We drink imaginary cappuccino at imaginary coffee shops. We put on our imaginary seat belts and I sit on an imaginary car or a bus or a plane. Where does this all come from? Imagination, it's this DNA of creativity that God has placed inside each one of us. Imagination flows from God. It's the joyous, creative nature of our God. In Genesis, it simply says, in the beginning, God. These four words, they shape our understanding of all that exists and our purpose for our existence. It's a big question right now across the earth. What is the reason for my existence? And if you go back to the beginning, in the beginning, God. And God literally creates everything out of nothing. And so all that we can see in all of its magnificent diversity was actually first imagined in the heart and mind of God. The word tells us that God saw it, and what did he say? He said it was good. And that includes the creation of you and me. Turn to the person next to you and say, God says you are good. That went on and on. Genesis 1:27, it says, God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created them, male and female, he created them. You're in the heart of God. You were in the heart of God. He imagined you in all of your diversity and complexity and beauty. He imagined you. We see the outworking of God's imagination throughout creativity, throughout creation, in the beauty of the natural universe around us. Galaxies, animals, insects, even snakes, spiders, such imagination. I mean, I like to look at the sky. I like to gaze at the ocean and think about the creative nature of our God and literally have my breath taken away at the glory of God's handiwork as he has created such beauty. He has such imagination. Whales, flamingos, they're odd. They're odd. Toucans, beetles, spider webs. I mean, they're magnificent. Constellations, all of it. They display the limitless creative imagination of the God that we worship. This morning, that's the God we are worshiping. We're not going through the motions of a linear God. We are worshiping a God who is all expansive and all knowing and all loving. That is the God that we worship. And the beautiful thing when I say imagination flows from God, worship actually, I can't help myself in getting onto the worship topic, because the Father invites us into it all as he invites us into his presence through worship, as he helps us remove the distractions of life. In fact, worship kind of tells them to sit down and shut up as we exalt the only name that is above every other name. That is the beauty of worship, and it helps us see. Worship helps us imagine. It helps protect the barriers of our minds. It helps remove the distractions so that we can see the one who has created it all. Imagining with God is part of the beauty of being a follower of Christ. We get to imagine with him. While I speak today, the team are going to play a live art piece. It's a digital illustration. It's been hand-drawn by a friend of mine, Brian Estens Lau. He's a master illustrator and animator. He works for Disney. He most recently did The Greatest Showman, Peter Rabbit. He's a beautiful Christian man. He's involved in his local church in Blacktown. And I asked him if he would draw to scripture. I said, find all of the scriptures on the glory of God, and I want you to imagine, and I just want you to draw. So that's going to be playing while I speak, just to keep reminding you of where we're heading with imagination. So I started in Ephesians 3, way more than we can ever ask or think or imagine. I'm going to go back to verse 16, and I'm going to read it from the Passion Translation. And this is what it says. I pray that he would unveil within you the unlimited riches of his glory and favor until supernatural strength floods your innermost being with his divine might and explosive power. Then, by constantly using your faith, the life of Christ will be released deep inside you, and the resting place of his love will become the very source and root of your life. And then you will be empowered to discover what every Holy One experiences, the great magnitude of the astonishing love of Christ in all of its dimensions. How deeply intimate, far-reaching is His love, how enduring, how inclusive, endless love beyond measurement that transcends our understanding. This extravagant love pours into you until you are filled to overflowing with the fullness of God. Never doubt God's mighty power to work in you and accomplish all this. He will achieve infinitely more than your greatest request, your most unbelievable dream, and exceed your wildest imagination. That's who He is. He will outdo them all, for His miraculous power constantly energizes you. See, the power of God's love at work in our lives is so that we can walk in the power of the miraculous every moment of our lives. The same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead is alive in us, which is why we can have confidence when the Word says way more than you're thinking right now is actually what God wants to accomplish in and through your life. I think why He asks us to step into imagination is that it's important for us to start to see, to start to dream, to start to perceive, to start to lay hold of things that have laid in your heart forever. It's time to stir it up in Jesus' name and watch Him exceed even more than your greatest imagination. Imagination flows from God. My second thing here is that we too are called to imagination. See, family, if we are created in the image of a creative, all-loving God, and we are called to imitate Christ, and everything Jesus does is about revealing and responding to the love of the Father, then imagination will be a critical part of how we live and learn and influence the world around us, with the source and root being about us living in Christ, living in the love of Christ. Because unless we step into this land of, you can't see it yet, but you can hang your life on it, what's that called? It's called faith, right? Without it, it's impossible to please God. Yet faith asks us to see the unseeable. Faith asks us to walk into the yet path that has never been walked upon. We are called, Bill Johnson calls it imagineering. Of course he does. I've got a quote from him. He said, "You are God's idea. He longs to see the treasure in your heart. And as we learn to dream and imagine with God, we become co-laborers with Him. We've been given the capacity to dream and, more importantly, dream with God. Many believers discount their desires, automatically trying to get rid of everything they imagine in order to somehow prove their surrender to God." It's like, how do we see God? Ephesians kind of pushes the love of God, continues to put it right in the front of our face, in the fiber of our being, to say, never forget who our God is. He's not a God who is teasing you with great imaginations and then saying, no, you can't have it. Show your loyalty to me. No, you can't have it. That is cruel. And that is not who our God is. He is a God that loves us. He's lavished and created us with gifts and talents and desires and dreams, all because of His love for us. Sometimes we put our dreams down. We put our imagination on hold. Maybe circumstances in life have kind of pushed you to the side for a little season, and yet now the season's become a habit. The habit becomes a stronghold. And the stronghold causes you to sit. But God this morning is asking you to stand again and imagine again with Him. Sometimes it feels almost reckless to imagine. What if? Yet, family, until we understand His pure love for us, we will fight the dreams. And we can easily disregard some of the imaginations, even the ones that God is singing over you at night while you sleep. You know, I've learned over the years, I don't even question those things anymore. I have a pad and pen by my bed, and I just wake up and write it down. I never think about it until the next day and go, wow, that's amazing. Sometimes I'm like, wow, that's odd. Sometimes I've run out, so I don't wake Mark up, and I've sung songs into, you know, I wake up, wow, there's a song, I'll sing it into the phone. I think that's beautiful, I'll work on that tomorrow. I get up, I'm like, that is the worst song I've ever heard. We just got to keep dreaming. It was Picasso who said, every child is an artist. The problem is how to remain one once we grow up. Picasso is referring to a loss of imagination. Imagination, it's that force that trespasses on the impossible. Come on, just because something hasn't been done doesn't mean it can't be done, right? See, for children, imagining is an easy task. But as we age, we get practical. We tip into what we see. We do what we know. And what we see most often places limitations on what God is trying to bring out of us. Maybe there are things that you need to reimagine or reimagineer over your life today. Maybe there are dreams that you've put down because you thought that there was no way they could be from God. But this morning I sense the Spirit of God just saying, come on, family. This church is positioned. There's something beautiful, sovereign about this place. You're going to be not just a lighthouse in the community, be a lighthouse in Imagineering. Greatness is brooding here. There is a brooding of greatness here. If you see imagination like a kite up there somewhere, see faith as the string grounding it to the heart of God. And then you get a little picture of the brilliance that dreaming and vision, what it produces in your life. You know, in Acts 2, God says, I will pour out my Spirit on all people, and your sons and your daughters will prophesy, and your young men will see visions. Come on, have I got any young men in the house this morning? Have I got any young women in the house this morning? It says, and your old men will dream dreams. Have I got any more aging men in the house this morning? I want to hear the loudest cheer. Come on. Amen. And any aging women, that's me. Amen. Come on, girls. Come on, we dream dreams. We see visions. We do it together, one generation to another. That's how God created it. It's been quoted that in the second century, Saint Irenaeus said, the glory of God is the human person fully alive. But what was actually said is this. For the glory of God is a living man, and life of man consists in beholding God. See, when you're beholding God and inviting Him to be central into the dreams and desires of your heart, then you start to begin to see the things that the Holy Spirit is calling you into in Jesus' name. When I see the Central Coast now, I don't see it like the statistics tell me. I see it as a lighthouse on a hill. I see it as a brooding place for worship. I see it as a place where we look after people with special needs. I see it, you know, people, they run to the Central Coast because it's a little bit more affordable. We've got beautiful Aspect School. My grandson has, he's at the Aspect School. He's on the he's on the spectrum and he's amazing. But, you know, people run there and I go, I see the church. I see her in the front line of this ministry. I see it. What do you see for this region? What do you see for our nation? What do you see? Just because it hasn't been done doesn't mean it can't be done. What do you see? What do you see? This world lulls us. It lulls us into comfort. Now, the Word of God says those that hunger and thirst will be filled. The worst thing for us is comfort. It lulls you to sleep. You stop being hungry. Family, we've got to get hungry to imagine, God, what have you got for us in this season in history? It maybe have never been done before. Someone better do it then. Someone better do it then. When you read of some of the crazy miracles contained in the Word of God, many times when the people of God finally realized God's heart for them, it's like they had to see it. They had to see it first. I'm just looking at the time. I realize that I've had zero looking at the time. Okay, I've still got some minutes, so it's all right. I'm like, oh, are you meant to be leaving? I just get passionate. I get passionate about you doing what God has birthed you to do. Read the miracles. Often they had to imagine something coming to pass before it came to be actualized. Hannah, crying for a long time, being barren. And that woman had to see a child in her arms. She had to bring it before the Lord before it was brought to her. Moses, he had to see a nation set free. Can you imagine how much he had to see every night when what he saw in the natural was what, not what God told him? Can you imagine how much he had to keep seeing? David, you know, I love David. It's like reality TV into the worship leader, you know, the highs and the very lows of David. Seeing God's presence restored to the temple of God, seeing God's presence made awake in the life of an individual. David had to see it, had to imagine. If you sing his songs, many of them are sung prophetically. Before they came to be, he's singing what he sees. It's the power of that worshiping heart being able to knock down what you see in the natural so that you can imagine what the heart of God is seeing. Mary, she had to see the darling of heaven made manifest in her arms. Paul in prison, you know, praise helped him see. Praise helped him rejoice so he could get past what he saw in the natural, so he could get into what God was saying and declaring, so he could see freedom for everyone around him. Throughout history, Elias Howe, he sourced his invention of the sewing machine in a dream. In a dream. Dr. Frederick Bunting discovered insulin. In a dream. God speaks, family. Wagner, Beethoven, Straczynski heard musical compositions from small pieces to entire compositions as they imagined. Many of them woke up from dreams and literally wrote out scores for hours It's like it had been sung over them, and so they woke up and scribed it out. Bob Dylan, he talks about composing music from his dreams, from complete imagination, like having a moment and then having a complete song. The same God, the same God that was at work in Moses' life and David's life and Hannah's life and Mary's life and Beethoven's life, my life, that same God is releasing dreams and visions and imaginations over you. We are called to imagine. Imagination comes from God. And when our imagination is yielded to a biblical framework, we start to see people and things and ourselves the way God sees us. Our lives are radically changed when we start to live in step with the truth of what God's ways and his thoughts are toward us. Now, every time I go to Ephesians 3, it's really hard for me to get out of it. Because it envelops you in the love of God. And you know, when we go astray, and when we have doubts, when we're discouraged, maybe there's been pain over a long, long season, the only way back to purity of faith is to soak yourself in the love of God. You know, like all gifts from God, if our imagination is not yielded to the love and grace of God, it'll take you places that your imagination was never meant to take you. 2 Corinthians 10:5, what does it say? It says, casting down vain imaginations and everything, every high thing that tries to exalt itself against the knowledge of God and bringing it in to captivity, every thought to the obedience of Christ. See, one of the fruits of spirit is self-control. And so we learn, and I'm talking to everyone with your imagination, you've got to learn how to take it captive when it starts taking you places that you were never meant to walk. You've got to put a bridle on that imagination. You know, if you find yourself wandering into places, imagining what life would be like if you were married to someone else, that is a vain imagination. And that thing will take you down a journey, because imagination is so powerful. It will take you down a road that you were never meant to walk. And my friend, you've got to bring that thought into captivity and make it a captive of Christ so that it yields to the Word of God. You can allow the internet to take you on a fake life journey, and it will disconnect you from your real life. Family, bridle that imagination. Be accountable with your imagination and use it for the glory of God. I'm nearly done. Team, you can come if you like. Every piece of architecture, every song, this building, every great idea, every piece of clothing, cooking, works of art, all of it starts with imagination. And then someone being brave to step out of thought life and bring it into reality. See, in many cases, the development of imagination is also the first step toward faith. Imagining what God could do with your life. Godly imagination, it gives your faith a job. You've got to give your faith a job. The late and great theologian Francis Schaeffer, he said, the Christian is the one whose imagination should fly beyond the stars. You know, in Genesis 15, we read of Abraham who's crying out for a son. I don't know what you're crying out for today. Some of you are crying out for children. Some of you are crying out for children that have gone astray. Some of you are crying out for jobs, crying out for relationship. You're crying out for friendship. You're crying out for something. Abraham was crying out for a son. And what did God give him? He didn't give him a son straight away. He gave him a dream. He gave him a vision. He gave him a way to imagine, a promise to hold on to. The word says that Abraham was afraid. He was afraid to step out of where he was, out of his own country, to pursue God's dream for his life. In Genesis 15, it says, verse 5, he took him outside. God took Abraham outside. He took him out of the place of comfort, took him outside, and he said, look up at the heavens. Count the stars, if indeed you can. And then he said to Abraham, so shall your offspring be. And then one of the most powerful words in all of human history comes as the second word. And Abraham believed. Believe, 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 believe. We either believe this book, all of it, or we don't. Believe. This book is filled with the promises of God. It's the way God takes us by the hand and he says, let me help you see. See the promise that I've told you. See it. Imagine it. Imagine your life with a child in your arms. Imagine your life free of sickness. Imagine your life instead of generational no job. You've got generational employment, prosperity. Imagine, imagine your businesses, the ones that are inside you, that you're actually, God's going to take you by the hand through his word and he's going to help you see. Abraham believed the Lord and he credited it to him as righteousness. Did Abraham have a son there and there? Bing. Here's your son. No. Did Abraham, after that encounter, fight his own disbelief? You bet he did. But now Abraham had a vision. He had a way to imagine something from the heart of God that he could hold on to as he imagined life with a son. Fear had caused Abraham to live in only what he could see with his natural eyes. Do you know what? We all face that. But that will bring immediate limitations. It immediately puts a lid on what Holy Spirit is trying to release through imagination. If you feed your fear, you'll increase your spiritual blindness. But Isaiah 41:13 says, I am the Lord your God, and I'll take hold of your right hand and I say to you, do not fear, I will help you. Do not fear, I will help you. Some of you need to hear that this morning as the Holy Spirit starts to just stir on some of those dreams that have been laid down for a long time. God is saying, do not fear, I will help you. 1 Peter 4 says, every believer has received grace gifts, everyone. So use them. Use them to serve one another as faithful stewards of the many-colored tapestry of God's grace. So beautiful. What's the Holy Spirit stirring in you this morning when it comes to your imagination, what you see over your life? What are you called to bring to the world that doesn't yet exist? What's made you stop imagining? One of the gifts of cancer for me, and there are gifts to chaos, is that I had to stop. And what happened was, breath of God over my imagination. He helped me see. He helped me see in powerful ways. Even helping me see helped with my healing. There was a day that I found myself on the floor crying out to God. And I was very sick. I hit I hit very, very sick a couple of times, and it was very serious. Dropped to my knees, and God gave me a picture. It was like from the core of His heart, and everything in my imagination lit up, and I saw a picture, and I saw a wedding. And I saw the church that my two eldest daughters have been married in. It's a beautiful historic church here in our city. And I saw everyone around. And I saw this beautiful blonde bride walking down the aisle. And I'm like, oh God, thank you. Thank you that I get to see my Zoe Jewel, that I will be alive to see my Zoe Jewel married. And He said to me, look again, look again. And I looked again, and it was my granddaughter, Ava. It was my granddaughter, Ava. Let me take you by the hand, Father says, and look up at the stars, and let me help you see. What do you need to see this morning? Do you need hope for your healing? Do you need hope for your family? Do you need hope for your business? You're believing something radically beautiful over our nation? What is it that you need to see? This morning, I want to pray for you this morning. If you want to just be brave and stand to your feet and say, I want to dream again. I want to be radical in my dreaming. I want to see with God. I want you to stand to your feet. It's like this declaration of, yes, I want to dream again. I'm dreaming for new possibilities. And don't look at each other. This is not a time to spectate. This is a time to expect from God. Can you lift your head toward heaven this morning? I feel the Holy Spirit taking you by the hand. And like He did with Abraham, He's taking you and say, hey, look up, look up. Let me help you see how I see your life. Let me help you see the things that are deep in your heart. This is a new day. They are not vain imaginations. These are imaginations from the heart of God over you, over your seed, over your children, over your children's children. And I declare in the mighty name of Jesus right now, for this, I see this word flourish. I see it over your lives this morning. Flourish in Jesus' name. New days, come on, the Holy Spirit just brooding over the deep recesses of your heart today in Jesus' name. We thank you, Father, for a birthing. This is a day of birthing in Jesus' name. An awakening of dreams in Jesus' name. A clarity of imagination in Jesus' name. I thank you, Father God, that nothing and no one will get in the way of what you have planned in Jesus' name. And where there are vain imaginations, in the mighty name of Jesus, with the blood of Jesus, we just cast those things down in Jesus' name. Can I hear an agreement this morning, family? Come on, say in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I thank you, God. I just sense like this beautiful armor of God being fitted on you beautifully, and that beautiful helmet protecting your thoughts and your mind in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. This morning while you're standing, if there's someone here today and you've never actually really opened your heart to the love of God. You might have been coming to church for a while. Someone may have brought you here this morning. Maybe you're not even sure why you found yourself here today. You know, there's this beautiful scripture in the Word that tells us it's the kindness of God that leads us to repentance. Repentance is literally turning away from the old life and saying yes to life in Christ. You know, when I said yes to Jesus, I was 15. I was living out of home. It was a crazy situation in my family. And my father found Christ and he came and picked me up from where I was living and he brought me to a youth meeting. Any youth leaders in the house this morning? I'm so grateful. And I'll never forget that night, me and one other person said yes, just opened my heart. I didn't know anything about anything except I felt the unconditional love of God. I didn't know the benefits of following Christ. I didn't know the joy. I didn't know that I would find the Holy Spirit as a friend and comforter who, after that day, it was like every day I'd come home from work and he was waiting for me. I didn't know about any of that. I was just looking for home in my heart. I was looking for peace in my soul. And I opened my heart to Jesus and said yes, and he came in and he made me right with God. And that's the reason I'm standing here today, not from any of my effort. I'm standing here today because of the grace and the love and the great mercy of God. And this morning, I want to extend that invitation to you. A simple prayer that simply where you're standing says, Jesus, come, be the Lord of my life. I'm tired of living life my own way. I want to live life your way. John 3:16 from the Passion Translation says, this is how much God loved the world. He gave his one and only unique Son as a gift. So now that everyone who believes in him will never perish, but experience eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, to bring judgment and condemnation, but to be its Savior and rescue. If that's you this morning, while every head is bowed, just to give people privacy, every eye closed, in church, could you pray right now? If you'd like me to lead you in a prayer right where you're standing, I just want you to lift your hands so I know who I'm praying with today, right over this building, that people are responding to Jesus. Thank you, Father. Yep, beautiful lady. Best day of your life today, my love. Amen. Who else is there this morning? Who else is in this place? It's a little bit hard for me to see. Just raise your hand, wave it a little bit so I can see you today in this place. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for people saying yes to your love in this place today. Hallelujah. Well, everybody who has raised your hand, and maybe those of you this morning, you're a little unsure, but your heart is leaning toward God. I want you to repeat this prayer after me today. Let's pray this together. Dearest Lord Jesus, today I accept my need of you. I turn from living life my own way, and with all that I am, I say yes to living life your way. Thank you for loving me. I am now a Christian. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Can we give God glory this morning? Thank you, family.
Thanks for listening to this week's message. For more info about Horizon Church, please visit our website at horizonchurchsydney.com. Have a fantastic day, and we hope to see you again soon.